All right, good morning. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 5 and 6 today. Excited to be there together. I'll be honest, I struggle with that song we just sang. It's a great song. I like it. But to sing Never Gonna Let Me Down, whenever I'm singing it, I'm constantly like inserting Ultimately Let Me Down. Because I, like you, I get disappointed a lot. And just singing, you are good, like we believe that. The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, right? We believe that. But like, do we feel that? You know, that's a big song. You know, that's like a song that's more of a prayer, like, God, help me really believe these things. You know, in the Gospels, it talks about, you know, God, you know, challenges us, you know, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your Father in heaven? How much more good is He? And just kind of thinking about God's goodness is really a challenge to believe that. No, it is. And I think that gets right into this subject this morning of being God's children and really believing that He is a good and perfect Heavenly Father. And that He has our best interests in His heart. And so we're talking this morning about being adopted by God. Adopted by God from Ephesians 1, 5 through 6. Listen, I told you in Ephesians chapter 1, in fact, verse 3 through verse 14, it's one long sentence. It's a one long run-on sentence in the Greek. And it lists off different blessings that are ours in Christ. And we looked a couple weeks ago, do you remember, at one of them, being chosen. It's kind of like Christmas. I mean, do you open all your presents at one time? No, you open them one at a time. Ephesians chapter 1 is like different gifts of being a Christian, of these blessings that we have in Christ. And so this morning we're looking at being adopted by God. We're going to look closely at it, what it means. I hope that it'll really change our lives. Help us to grow in Christ. So, all right, let me say this. Alan Jackson, the great country music star, has this song called All God's Children. Maybe you've heard it. Anyways, he's talking about religion, politics, race, the big things that divide. And then one more, people who like country music and people who don't. And he's just talking about, can we just get past these differences? Because we're all God's children. That's the theme of the song. I'll give you some of it, and then we'll never talk about it again, okay? Here comes a Baptist. Here comes a Jew. There goes a Mormon and a Muslim too. I see a Buddhist and a Hindu. This is profound stuff, okay? I see a Catholic, and I see you. We're all God's children. We're all God's children. Anyways, why can't we be one big happy family? You like the day and I like the night. He's into country and he isn't quite. That doesn't mean that we have to fight. It's unbelievable. But here's the thing. This is a popular song. And even more popular is the idea behind it. That everyone is God's children. We're all God's children. So popular, such a message that people will get behind. But is it true? What does it mean if it's not true? In Ephesians chapter 1, and the reason I bring this up is because in Ephesians chapter 1, God in His word is telling you that as a Christian, one of the most amazing and precious spiritual blessings for you by the grace of God is that of you being adopted, i.e. made a child of God. And if this is something, if that is something, per Alan Jackson, that we all possess with or without Christ, then why would it be amazing and precious or new or unique? Why? It's kind of like telling someone who you're trying to get them to sign up for cable with Spectrum or YouTube TV or Sling and be like, hey, listen, I'm telling you, you're going to get CBS. I already have that. I have that without what you're offering. You see? It's like wrapping up something that you own and giving it to you as a Christmas present. It's weird. So we're going to dig into that today. And we're going to look at it in this way. So first, I want to talk about our need for adoption. Secondly, aspects of adoption. And there's going to be quickly four aspects. And then hopefully, application of all these truths like to our lives. And so let's read verses 5 and 6 and pray. Ephesians 1, verse 5. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that the truth that in Christ we're made sons and daughters of Almighty God would travel from the pages of Ephesians, not just to our heads, but would deeply penetrate our hearts. God, that we would feel like your beloved children in Christ. God, that we would pray like that, that we would live like that, that we would treat others like that. Lord, that you would help us to know our identity as your children. And for anyone here who does not know that they have been made a child of God by faith in Christ, I pray that they would come running into your arms this morning, Heavenly Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So first, just like implied is the need for adoption, and I think it's worth thinking about. We sort of got into it a little bit there in the intro, but verse 5 reads, he predestined us for adoption. You know, implying that this is something that, you know, before the foundation of the world, it was predestined. It was something that was planned for us. It must be something we need. And truthfully, I think many of us, this is the truth. It's the truth. Don't get overly excited about our adoption into God's family, because we really haven't grappled with what it means, or we don't realize that apart from Christ, we actually don't have it and we need it. So quickly, just like with what it means, and I think, you know, it's really worth just pausing, and I think we need to do this more as believers, pausing and just thinking, wait, the Bible says that? We believe that? Like, this is one of those truths, you know, that a holy, majestic, and transcendent God of eternity has adopted little, finite, fallen, selfish creatures, you and me, to be his kids. I mean, like, wait, we believe that? Wait, we believe that? It's mind-blowing. You know, it's unique about the Christian faith. Muslims aren't down with that. God's too transcendent to adopt you as his kids. This is profound, to know God as your father. And so, first, just reflecting on what it means and being blown away by it, but then thinking about our great need for adoption. You know, Noah was building his ark. There were no clouds in the sky. There was only God's word that a flood was coming and that an ark was needed. And it's hard to believe when your trusted senses are telling you another story, right? According to the Bible, and this is the thing, according to this book, according to the Bible, apart from genuine faith in Jesus Christ, i.e. being a Christian, apart from that, a person is not a child of God. But the good news is they're invited to become one. But apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, one of faith in Christ and what he's done for you on the cross, apart from that, according to the Bible, not according to Pastor Matt, not according to, you know, conservatives, not according to liberals, I mean, according to the Bible, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, a person is not a child of God. And so for many of us, even as I say that, that's a non-intuitive statement. That's contrary to culture, popular belief, our trusted senses. Much of the teaching we've heard, perhaps even in church. But if we do not truly recognize that we are without adoption, then we will not appreciate it as the highest privilege of the gospel that it is. J.I. Packer says in his book, Knowing God, adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers, higher even than justification. To be right with God the judge is a great thing, but to be loved and cared for by God the Father is greater. So, I feel in me, and perhaps you do, objections to this a little bit. But wait, that sounds like God is unloving. It's the opposite, actually. Are you unloving because every kid in Raleigh is not your personal kid? Listen, the Bible teaches that we are all God's creation, that we're all made in his image, and that God loves and cares for his creation, that he causes the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the fields of the righteous and the unrighteous. He calls us as his people to care for all people regardless of anything about them. They are made in God's image, and so we should love them. So God loves all of his creation. But this label, this experience, this reality, being God's children, that's not all creation. That's the people of God. That's God's family. That's those with faith in Christ. And so far from it making God unloving, it's actually what makes him so loving that through Christ, we can become the children of God. That those who are not might be. And so another, you know, objection you might think is, well, I got it, but I just have always been taught otherwise, and I've always thought otherwise. And I just think that's important. Okay. Well, I want to be very gracious here because people do get very confused about this, and I certainly was one of those and still can be on many issues, but listen, loved ones, remember, something is not true based on how many people believe it. That's not how truth works, right? And so I'm not like here to be the spiritual vocab police, but I do think it's important that we talk about this with precision and accuracy. Bad terminology leads to bad theology. And you say, I don't care, I'm not a theologian. Everyone's a theologian. Thoughts about God. Bad thoughts about God lead to real problems in real life. So we want to know the truth about this. Reasons to believe that what I'm telling you is true. Number one, the Bible teaches that apart from faith in Christ, we are, Ephesians 2, verse 3, children of wrath. You were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So he's speaking to Christians and he's saying, here's what you were. You were like the rest of mankind. And Alan Jackson's like, you mean all those people that are all God's children? He's like, no. You were like the rest of mankind. Children of wrath. Another reason to sort of see it this way is that, and we've been sort of saying this, the gospel's generous offer of adoption makes absolutely no sense if we already are all God's children. Even if we are rebellious children, it doesn't make sense that we, by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, are made God's children. Hallelujah. But by the way, you already were. That doesn't make sense. So we're talking about our need for adoption and just that we need it, that everyone needs it, that we're not born with it. According to the Bible, apart from a genuine relationship with Jesus, a person is not a child of God, never was. But the good news is, John 1:12, to all who have received Jesus, God has given the right to become the children of God. And so, friends, adoption and the fatherhood of Almighty God is one of the truths that radically sets Christianity apart from other religions. That men and women, that you and me can have a personal relationship with God. We've looked at our need. Now let's look at aspects of adoption. And that's really what we have in this text. We have four aspects of adoption, Christian adoption. And the first one, from the beginning of verse 5, is the moment of our adoption. And that moment is now, the moment of our adoption. So look at verse 5 there. It says, he predestined us for adoption. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. And so this text, this verse, is teaching us that adoption is by God's predestination and not at all by our adoptability. The moment of our predestination was when? Before time. Hello? Predestiny. But the moment of our actual adoption is the point of us responding by faith to the good news of Jesus Christ. Now. Predestination does not mean that it happened in the past. It means that it was pre-planned in the past. Think about the word premeditation. The moment of our adoption is now. The spiritual blessing of adoption is for us today. Galatians 4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive. Here it comes, adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The moment of our adoption, pre-planned in eternity past, predestination experienced now. Think about this. For thousands and thousands of years, there's been a predestined plan for your adoption in the works. But now it's activated. This should be a revolution in our lives. It should totally revolutionize our prayer life with intimacy, with affection, with simplicity, our conduct with character, with outward focus and mission and prioritization, our faith with boldness, asking Dad for everything and huge things. He can do anything. It was revolutionary for Paul. So, the moment of our adoption is now. The means of our adoption is Jesus. He predestined us for adoption, verse 5, to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. The word through is a preposition of instrumentality. It says, the means of adoption, Jesus. You're not adopted as a child of God by being born into a Christian family or by being adopted into a Christian family, domestic or international. Not by going to a Christian school. Not by being raised in the church. Not by saying the Lord's Prayer. Definitely not by good behavior or by attempts to look adoptable. No, none of these are effective means for being adopted as a child of God. They fail. Our adoption is through one means and one means only, through Jesus Christ. This is how it works. Look, anybody can grasp this. Number one, God created us to know and worship Him. Number two, we have all sinned against God. There's no one who is not sinful. We have sinned against God, incurring judgment from a holy God. Number three, God sent Jesus, His Son, to live a perfect, obedient life and then to die a sinner's death in our place. Being God, Jesus paid the penalty in full and rose from the grave to new life for eternity. And four, today, if you turn from your sin and place your faith in Jesus, God's word says that God reckons your sin to Jesus on the cross and reckons the righteousness of Jesus in the child of God status of Jesus and the experience of that truth to you. Our salvation is more than being made right with God. We haven't just been let off death row and given a clean record. We have been made sons and daughters and invited to the family table of our God and to call Him Dad. And if you make that decision, or if you have made that decision for Christ, then it can be said of you, you were predestined to be His child. The moment is now, the means, Jesus. The manner is joy. This is a really big point this morning right here. The manner is joy. Look at verse 5 still. How did God do this adoption thing? What does it say? It says, according to the purpose of His will. Let me give you a couple of other translations of that phrase because I think it's helpful as we sort of camp out here. The NIV says, in accordance with His pleasure and will. The New American Standard says, according to the kind intention of His will. So here, try this exercise. I love doing this with the Bible. Put your finger over that phrase and read the passage. He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ. Skip. To the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. I mean, that's still great. Like, you would maybe have not even known it wasn't there if we didn't put it on the screen and we didn't tell you to turn there. I mean, it's still great. What's missing? The manner. What do you lose? You lose the manner. It's like this, like sometimes, you know, someone will say, hey, let's not text or email, let's get face-to-face because you can read the person better. You can kind of feel the manner of it, right? Like you can kind of understand from their facial expressions, from the way they are, their presence, you can kind of get how they feel, right? What's missing or what's included by this phrase, according to the purpose of His will? The word will is not some sort of locked in eternity, fatalistic word. It means God's pleasure, His will, His kind intention. And so the point here is that God adopts you with joy. That God is smiling as He adopts you in Christ. He foreknows and sees all the difficulties of being your dad. No surprises with God. Yet He's not frustrated. He doesn't feel His hand being forced by sin. He feels joy and happiness in adopting you. Can you feel that? Can you work on getting to a place where you feel that? The moment is now. The means is Christ. The manner of our adoption is joy. And the mission of our adoption, God's glory. God's glory. Look at verse 6. It says, what's all this for? It says, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Well, our series title is Glorious Grace. There you have it. To the praise of his glorious grace. What's the mission, the purpose, the end for which this is happening, this adoption of us into God's family? What's the big why? It's God's glory. It's praise. The ultimate purpose, the praise of his glorious grace. Grace means God's unmerited favor toward us. I mean, the fact that the ultimate, like the ultimate truth is God's glory, it's not like some major theological observation, okay? Sometimes we say things like the glory of God, and we think like, ooh, theology. No, no, no. This is just like obvious. I'll give you an example. ESPN Outside the Lines did a story on former University of Georgia coach Mark Richt. He's a Christian. His wife is a Christian. They have two biological sons. And they sought to adopt two children from Ukraine, a brother and sister. The girl, Anya, was given up for adoption because she had a very bad facial deformity. This is a heart-tugging story of a wealthy, successful, very busy, loving family that know Christ, that appreciate their adoption into God's family, and that chose to adopt two unwanted kids from the other side of the world. And at the end of the story on ESPN, you cannot help but have what one thought? Mark Richt and his wife are such awesome people. That's the thought everyone has. It's the universal reaction to that story. What incredible people. And in the same way, when you look at the story of God's adoption of us as his children, the overall takeaway, times 10 trillion, is the Christian God, the Father of Jesus Christ. What a great God! He gets the glory. It's just the obvious conclusion of this great blessing of being adopted by God. This glorious grace, it says in the end of verse 6, is that with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Look at that tenderness, the affection that Paul spies, that God the Father has for Jesus Christ. And recall the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3, where a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." The moment is now, the means is Christ, the manner is joy, the mission is God's glory. And now let's just talk as we close about application. Application of this huge spiritual blessing of our adoption by God. Number one, get this spiritual blessing. Friend, at all cost, get this blessing. We're not all God's children, but he invites us to respond by faith to Jesus Christ and become children of God. Turn from sin and believe in Christ today. Be saved, be forgiven, be made new, be adopted as a child of God. So many of your friends and leaders in this church would love to help you make that decision today and get baptized next Sunday. So number one, get the spiritual blessing. Number two, live in this spiritual blessing. Probably a really big application for us this morning. Live in it. As God's children, we should live in this reality. Begin to pray, think, talk, sing, spend money, serve, hope, dream as a son and daughter of the King. In the movie Postcards from the Edge, old movie, Gene Hackman says to Meryl Streep, he says this, "What a wonderful life you have. Many women would envy what you have accomplished." Streep answers, "Yes, I know, but you know what? I can't feel any of my life. I've never been able to feel my life and all of those good things." Is that not true of some of us as followers of Christ in regard to our status and identity as children of God? Do you feel it? Live in this spiritual blessing. Brendan Manning, in his book, Abba's Child, which is helpful on this subject, says, "The greatest gift I have ever received from Jesus Christ has been the Abba experience." Galatians 4:6 again, "And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father." So get this spiritual blessing, live in this spiritual blessing, and last, and I think just a great application is, live out this spiritual blessing. Live in it, meaning make this your life. Live it out, meaning share it with the world. Why do we adopt others? Because we've been adopted. And as we go and adopt others, we paint a tiny picture of what God has done in Christ. A deep, heart-piercing, and fundamental grip of your adoption as God's child is the superior motivation and fuel for loving, with the love of God, those without an earthly father or mother, or both. Get this spiritual blessing, live in the spiritual blessing, live out this spiritual blessing. And so, brothers and sisters, we have been adopted by God through Christ. Let's close in prayer.